which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is lying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Dominic! Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. Broad makes you breakfast? You should be fucking kissing the fucking ground she walks on.
Yeah, Jesus. Like...
Yeah. Related to the cinnamon rolls, I got a question for you.
Okay.
When you were... Well, I mean, I haven't had them in a while, so I think of when I was young. Did you... Or did your mom ever make, or not from scratch, but like you buy them, pecan swirls?
No.
Oh, man. Those were good. I love pecan swirls.
We stuck to...
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I do.
Okay, good. Because I wasn't sure if it was one of those things that maybe it's just like around here or something.
I think I had them once before. I wasn't a big fan. I'm not a big pecan person.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone in my family is either. I think that's why. Like, I've never seen my...
Who likes the pecans?
My mom might kind of like them, but like my dad doesn't. I don't think anybody else in my family does, except for my mom, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had them... I had them once, not related to my family at all. They were okay. But again, not a pecan person, so...
Wait, you had the pecan swirls?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I like them.
I much prefer the cinnamon rolls. Now, part of the thing with cinnamon rolls is... Growing up, that is always what we had Christmas morning. Like, that was the Christmas breakfast.
Oh, what about the Slav thing? Is that only an Easter?
That was an Easter thing that I have since converted to a Christmas thing.
Okay, so you do that on Easter.
So, yeah, so, no.
I mean, you do that on Christmas.
Yeah, so it's the Slav thing, and in case somebody's just tuning in now for the first time, first of all, thank you for tuning in. Second of all, the Slav thing is, at Easter, it's a tradition, you make a cheese... kind of thing, and then you make kielbasa. You can do hard-boiled eggs. I think there's a couple other things that you can actually make in this, but my family would always did the hard-boiled eggs, the cheese, and the kielbasa. But
right, and don't forget starting a fire at the base of a nuclear cooling tower for heat.
Well, there's that too.
You know, because you're Slavs.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, and starting an Italian pizza place.
Yeah, an Italian pizza place that makes always Greek
says,
pizza.
Yeah, it always says authentic Italian.
Yeah, and use a, like, make up an Italian name.
Yeah. Like, they're just like, oh, it's Giuseppe's. They're just like, yeah, hey, what's your name? Keith?
One of my favorite pizza and sub places in Quincy is called Balducci's. It's a bunch of fucking Slavs.
No,
Greek pizza.
Balducci's is really good.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. But yeah, it's totally a bunch of Slavs making Greek pizza.
It's not an Italian place at all.
No, but I love it.
Where are we going? Oh, okay. But so that's the tradition for Easter for Slavish people.
Yeah.
You
Slavic.
Slavic people, yes. Slavic. It's close. But since I don't really do anything for Easter, my wife and I have converted that tradition into a Christmas thing because we always celebrate Christmas, but we're not big on celebrating Easter because it makes quite a bit, and then you're like celebrating for several days and just... Not big Easter people, because it's like, we gotta hide shit, and then we gotta find it, and that's just it's boring, basically, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it for Christmas, and that's a thing that we started. So we're kind of continuing the tradition, but altering it a little bit.
Okay.
But growing up, our thing was always to do, what we would do is we would get up. I think as I got older, we started going to church in the morning. Before we would go at night, and then I think we started going in the morning.
Yeah.
Or maybe we started going in the morning when I was real young. Like when I was a baby, and then I think maybe we transitioned into going at night, and then we started going in the morning again. Because there was a while where we'd go at night, and we'd go the day before, and we would go to it at like 6 o'clock or whatever.
Right.
And then, because we were in New Jersey, we would go to a diner for dinner.
Really?
Yes. Because our big thing was always the Christmas dinner was on Christmas. Like some people, it's Christmas Eve is the big day.
Oh, yeah.
Our day was always was Christmas, because that's when all the relatives would come and we would cook everything and everybody would show up on Christmas.
Okay.
Not on Christmas Eve. So what we would do is
opposite of me.
Yeah. So we would go to Mass on Christmas Eve. We would go to dinner. We would go home. My dad would put the lights on the tree because we never decorated the tree until Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know a lot of people that do that. I just never have.
Yeah. Sometimes my dad would start doing it before we went to church and he would put the lights on the tree. Sometimes he would do it after. It just depended on whatever day he was having that year.
Whatever kind of day was going on.
Whatever Charlie wanted to do, that's what he would do that day. And then we would decorate the tree and then go to bed. And then the next day we would get up. If it was later years where we were going to church in the morning, we would go to church in the morning, come back. We would usually change back into our pajamas. Because we would put on like khakis and a button-down shirt and everything and then we'd just go back and change into our pajamas,
right?
And then we'd start opening gifts. After we did a few rounds of gifts, we would then my mom would get up and put the cinnamon rolls in the oven. Coffee or tea would be made. And then we would go back to opening gifts, and then there would be a little intermission while we ate, and then we would finish things out afterwards. So cinnamon rolls have always had like a very like positive connection for me. So I always love a good cinnamon roll.
Can you imagine someone that cinnamon rolls had like a negative connotation with them? And they're just like, I hate cinnamon rolls.
That would be terrible.
You'd be like, whenever I think of cinnamon rolls, I think of like when my father walked in the kitchen and shot my mother.
Oh my God.
Not to go all serious on you, but and then anytime like they walk by a Cinnabon, they just like, no!
Like a tear just rolls down their face.
I prefer that they scream and run with their arms flailing.
They can only fly out of airports that don't have a Cinnabon in the terminal.
That's not many.
They're just like, oh, well, I can save $300 by flying in this airport for the layover, but there's this other airport, and this other airport doesn't have a Cinnabon, so I'm gonna
fly that.
I'm gonna go with this one.
Is there one in?
Then they get there, and they're, like, walking to their next gate, and they see one of those, like, it's boarded up in front, like, in the mall, and it just says, like, coming soon, Cinnabon. Motherfucker.
Is there one at Logan? I don't think there's one at Logan. Not that I've ever seen, although, a terminal I don't really go to necessarily.
I've never seen one at Logan.
Yeah. But the terminal is also very separate at Logan. You know, it's like you have to leave and like go down like the road to get to the other terminal. It's weird.
Yeah, it's not as bad. I feel like Newark is way more spread out in terms of terminals.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to Newark. Although, you know what? I'd probably like to keep it that way.
What? Why would you say that?
You know, just because.
I don't.
Because it's Newark.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess the airport's not a big deal, but, you know.
It's not. I mean, it's not the same thing.
What, the airport as the city?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Philadelphia airport's pretty gross.
Newark airport isn't actually too bad.
Isn't? No.
I'm trying to think. What's some of the worst airports I've been at?
Worst airports?
Okay, look, so I was at Logan. My last flight out of Logan really sucked. Because
yeah.
I was in Terminal C, I think. And then I was in the gates, like, 44, 45, and 46, where they were, like, off in a separate part of the terminal where they had nothing there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was no bar there whatsoever.
No, that's garbage.
So when you dropped me off at the airport, I was like, oh, thank God, we stopped off for a beer on the way to the airport, because I wouldn't have had a buzz for the plane, and that would have sucked.
I think I know exactly where you're talking about, where there's, like, nothing there to drink.
They now have, like, they have, when you, after you go through security, they have a little area for, like, the Hudson News or whatever.
Hudson News. I love the Hudson News.
And then they have the little, like, to-go thing with the little sandwiches and the little, like, sodas and stuff, and that's it.
Wow, that sucks.
The latest update online that I can find is somebody saying, does Logan Airport have a Cinnabon? And somebody says, no Cinnabon at Logan Airport. And that is from 2 years ago. But I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. I've never seen one that I can remember. Let's see, worst airports I've ever been at. LaGuardia kind of sucks.
I don't think I've been to LaGuardia.
Yeah, it's not good. I bought a little pewter, not Central Liberty, Empire State Building there, though. That was kind of cool.
I'm trying to think. I went to a real fucking small airport in fucking Ohio that I think, I want to say it was, I'm trying to think of where it was.
Dayton?
No, I don't think it was Dayton.
Columbus?
I'm trying to think, because I was...
Canton?
I went to Ohio because of a girl that I was staying there. I'm trying to remember where she was, like, the town that she was from. And I can't fucking remember the name of it now.
I'm trying to name, like, smaller towns. You know, like, not, like, Cincinnati.
Well, it definitely wasn't Cincinnati, but I'm not entirely sure it was a place that you...
The Cincinnati airport is actually in Kentucky.
Oh, wait, hang on.
It's kind of weird. I bet they have a shitload of Pete Rose jerseys that you can buy. Toledo?
She was near here. So where's the closest Ohio? Where's the closest?
Airport. What's the time? It's like a decent sized city, like, not city, but, you know, like, it's like right over the border. I'm trying to think. So I think it starts with like a W.
Where's Toledo in relation to
Toledo? In the northwestern part of Ohio.
Maybe
it's like near Michigan.
Maybe it was the Toledo airport that I was in. That wasn't that great. I think I might have gone out of the Detroit airport that visit. I don't think that was that great.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Either that or I got smashed waiting in the lounge for it.
Let's see.
I'm trying to think about airports overseas, too, that I went in. Nothing stands out as being, like, a terrible fucking airport.
All right, speaking of that, the Fiumicino airport, the main airport for Rome, sucks. It's not good. It's big. I mean, it's huge. But it's gross. Like, it's dirty as shit. Especially the arrival section. Like, when you get there, you go through customs, you go to get your baggage, all that shit, it is gross. Like, just really just, like, everything looks like it's, like, been caked in dirt and dust.
Well, that's not good.
And there's, like, people walking around with, like, their dogs and shit in the airport. It's weird.
I will say, the baggage claim area of the Pittsburgh airport does not look good.
I'm trying to remember.
It's not great.
You know, I don't think I checked luggage when I went to Pittsburgh.
No, we met in that area. That's where we met.
Oh, wait, yeah.
But we didn't get to explore that area that much.
No, because I didn't check anything.
I was going to say, the Cincinnati airport wasn't that bad, but I'm thinking now, I'm pretty sure the Cincinnati airport is technically in Kentucky. Is that the one?
I just said that.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. It is. It's in Kentucky. It's right across the river.
I think I was looking it up while you were saying it, so...
Yeah, no, the Cincinnati airport's in Kentucky.
I mean, there are airports that are just bad, like O'Hare. O'Hare is never fun to be in, but
I've never been to O'Hare.
It's not a bad airport.
Trying to think. Other bad airports.
I don't think... the Seattle airport wasn't too bad.
Rome and LaGuardia, those are probably so far.
I don't remember the San Francisco.
Both have a lot of Italians involved.
Which airport was it? The Edinburgh airport in Scotland. What would you call it? The ticket counters?
Yeah.
Like, that section of it wasn't that great. It seemed really small. Like, way too small. For the traffic that was going through the airport.
Yeah.
But then once you got to your terminal, it didn't seem that bad. Like, it seemed actually pretty nice, so I don't know. Heathrow's nice.
You know what's a nice airport? Reagan, Washington, D.C. It's pretty nice. It's well laid out. I'll say it's newer though. I think it was made in like the last 10 years, so that's probably why.
Is it? Is there Reagan and then Dulles, or does?
Yeah, because Dulles is in the outskirts in Virginia. Reagan is right across the river, the Potomac, from D.C. It's like right next to the Pentagon.
Okay.
Yeah. But Reagan's fairly new, and it's pretty nice.
Well, yeah,
it's not that big though.
Well, no, isn't Reagan actually technically in Virginia?
Oh yeah, it is.
But it's literally right across from it, right?
It's on the river. Dulles is also in Virginia, but it's further out. That's a nice airport. But again, it's probably just because it's new and it hasn't been made gross yet. I bet Dulles is gross. I bet Dulles was nice when it was new, and now it's gross.
I'm pretty sure I flew through Dulles. I'm just not – I don't remember it.
Yeah, and
if I don't remember it, then it can't be that gross. But yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Reagan's right there. So, I mean, Reagan can't be too bad though. But yeah, that's pretty new, I think.
It is. I bet you
it's more than 10 years. I bet you it's at least 20.
I bet it's no more than 15.
Let's look this up, because who... 15,
although then again,
15
you know...
15 years ago would have been 1999. Who in 1999 is going, let's name an airport after Ronald Reagan?
No, because he was still alive when they dedicated it. I know that.
Here we go. Wikipedia. That seems like the most reliable source.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be more reliable than my memory.
Okay, what year did you say?
I said no more than 15 years.
All right. It was renamed in 1998 to honor U.S. President Ronald Reagan.
Okay. I mean, I've been there a few times. Everything I've been in is very new. I feel like they probably redid a lot of it.
They probably did. Let me see.
I don't think it was a major airport before. Like, I think it was kind of made a bigger airport probably in the late 90s.
It looks like starting in 84. Four, Secretary of Transportation Elizabeth Dole appointed a commission to study transferring National and Dulles airports from the federal from the FAA to a local entity. I think that was to pick up business, though, if I'm reading this right. Let's see. With the addition or construction of concurrent terminal buildings, with the addition of more flights and limited space in the aging main terminal, the airport began an extensive renovation and expansion in the 1990s. Hangar 11 on the northern end of the airport was converted into the U.S. Air terminal designated by Giuliani. Soon after, an addition for Delta Airlines was added in 1989. It was converted to authority offices. On July 27th, 1997, the new terminal complex consisting of terminals B and C and two parking garages opened.
So I feel like basically in the late 90s, they made it new.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And then like they basically made it like almost like a new airport and then were like, okay, now it's Reagan.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's, let's say, 15, 16, 17 years. Like, most of it is probably in that range old. No, it's not. Most of it is not 20 years old, though.
Yeah, that, yeah.
From what I can tell. Right. All right, so I lowballed it a little bit.
Well, let's see here. Terminal A opened in 1941. where you could get away with anything.
I wasn't in Terminal A. I'm telling you right now, I was not in Terminal A.
Terminal A was the one where you could still smoke on the plane and then fuck prostitutes and do whatever the fuck you wanted.
Sounds awesome.
that was expanded in 1955.
Speaking of Ronald Reagan.
The Acta? To accommodate more passengers and airlines, the exterior of this terminal has had its original architecture restored with the airside facade restored in 2004 and the landside facade restored in 2008. The terminal is currently undergoing a $37 million renovation that will modernize the airport's look by bringing in brighter lighting, more brighter
That's
lighting.
There's our tax dollars at perfect use. Awesome.
We will be switching the Ronald Reagan Airport from the, at least Terminal A, from the old gas lanterns to electricity, which I hear has taken off in the last 73 years.
Fantastic. I love it.
We will also...
Please spend my money.
We will also remove the red light part of Terminal A and replace it with the Bennigan's.
Bennigan's is out of business, you son of a bitch.
But, alright, I'm being told that Bennigan's is out of business. We will be replacing it with the TGI Fridays.
Okay.
Where you can get very cheap appetizers and a lot of beer before you board your flight.
I was going to say either TGI Fridays or, what's that Chinese restaurant? The Asian place, the
Panda Express.
No, the one that people love. It's like nice, but it's not like it's Monkey. Nice, but it's a chain.
Like
they have them in every major city.
Fuck, I know exactly.
You know what I'm talking about. It's like they don't have them everywhere, but like every like real city has one.
And they have the fucking
there's like horses out front.
Yes, and they have the fucking frozen. They have stuff in the frozen food section.
Oh my god, what the fuck is that called? P.F. Chang's.
Yes.
It's good. I mean, I like P.F. Chang's.
But they have a P.F. Chang's Express in Terminal.
Yes, exactly. It's yeah.
P.F.
Chang's on the run.
We will also be replacing the smoking section. The smoking vending machines with vending machines for noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, yeah. Gotta have those.
Unfortunately, noise-canceling headphone technology is still very expensive, so we'll just be providing you with sports Walkmans that will just have an old man screaming at you.
He's canceling out the other noise?
Yes. He will be so obnoxious and be telling you about the youth of today.
He's actually a Ronald Reagan lookalike.
Yes. He will tell you about the youth of today, so much so that you will not hear the engines of the plane. So you're welcome.
Thank you. And the wine and cheese platter is $15.
Yes. We only at this point still have American cheese and cheddar.
Which is also from America.
And the only wine that you can get is from New York and my cousin Lou's basement. He's in Hoboken.
It's one step below Carlo Rossi. Unfortunately, you will not get 2 gallons
of it. It is one step below that and 2 steps below 4 Buck Chuck at Trader Joe's. Which I hear is a happening new chain that's going to be a little upstart in New Jersey. I'm really excited about that. So that's good. Right, guys?
Is Trader Joe's from Jersey?
I don't know if it is. I'm
just kind
of... I just know that all of a sudden...
You just kind of said it.
I just know as growing up in New Jersey, all of a sudden Trader Joe's just popped up everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, well, that happened to me living in Massachusetts, too. All of a sudden, it was just kind of like, what is Trader Joe's? Oh, well, Trader Joe's has this. Okay. Where is there one? We're everywhere.
Well, here's your answer, though. Terminals B and C are the airport's newest and largest terminals. The terminals opened in 1997.
All right.
And replaced the collection of airline-specific terminals built during the 1960s. Ooh! The new terminals were designed by architect Cesar Pelli.
Pelli, yeah.
And housed 35 gates.
He's designed some of my favorite skyscrapers.
Oh, has he now?
He has.
Oh, is he actually called Cesar?
I call him Caesar, but I think he's Argentinian.
I don't think it's Caesar, because I think Caesar is spelled different. Isn't Caesar C-E-A?
C-E-A-S-A-R, yeah.
Yeah. He right now, Wikipedia just has him C-E-S-A-R.
Oh.
Cesar. So I assume that he was like the dog whisperer here.
Oh, like Caesar Milan?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's pronounced Caesar.
But I feel like they mispronounce his name. Cause yeah, but that's I feel what like he, when says. He says. I feel like when he says it, he's like, Cesar. And they're just like, oh, Caesar. And he's like, no, Cesar. There's Caesar. Yeah. And he's like, no, Cesar. Ah, forget it. I can train dogs, but not humans. Fuck this.
Let's see. Caesar Pele. Yeah, he is Argentinian. That's not surprising, though. With the name, you know, the names, the Caesar Pele, you know.
With a name like Cesar, it has to be Argentinian. Or with a name like Pele, it has to be Argentinian.
Well, no. I mean, there's a lot of Italians in Argentina, so the last name's kind of, you know, like the Pope, like new Pope.
Wait, hang on. What did you just say?
There's a lot of Italians in Argentina.
Okay, for a second I was like, wait a minute, did he just say there's a lot of Argentinians in Argentina?
No, a lot of Italians in Argentina.
Well, there's a lot of Germans, too.
There is a bunch of Germans. I actually read recently Italian people of Italian heritage make up 55% of the Argentinian population.
And Germans?
I think it's like 15%, somewhere around there. It's a sizable amount, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But yeah, Caesar Pele, he did some of my favorite skyscrapers though. He did a couple good ones. He did the Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur. People might know that, the twin towers there. They were the tallest buildings in the world for a while.
I can't picture them off the top of my head, but I'm quickly skimming through his Wikipedia. There's the Wells Fargo Center of Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've seen that one before.
He did the Bank of America headquarters too. In Charlotte, which is a really cool looking building.
Yes, I've seen that one as well.
Yeah. Been to the Charlotte Airport. It's pretty nice. It's not bad. They have those smoking rooms where you can go in and you can smoke with all the other people that are smoking, but you're, like, closed off. So it's, like, one just big giant cloud.
Okay, yeah.
You've seen that, yeah. You're boxed in? Yeah, you're boxed in with just a bunch of smoke. Like, it's kind of like that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer has the smoker's lounge in his apartment.
Oh, yeah. And he gets, like, the 20 years of...
of smoking in, like, 2 days, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Your face is all leathery.
Yeah. your teeth are brown. Look away, I'm hideous.
Stuck in the fucking toaster?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see what he's got going on. Yeah. Ooh, he's got a building in Seville. He's got a building in Milan.
He's got a lot. He's designed a lot of buildings.
He really has. There's a shit ton in here.
He's a...
Hang on, let me find out what building in Pittsburgh he designed here. I'm not seeing one in here. But, I mean, Pittsburgh is a really big... city, so there's got it. There's gotta be. I'm still not seeing one, Greg. I don't know.
No, don't know. Nothing in Pittsburgh.
No, I don't see one. Oh god.
Well.
Oh boy.
No, there's
one in Jersey City though.
Oh, nice.
That got my dick a little hard.
There was the building he designed, actually, it was supposed to be built in Boston, but it's kind of not been built, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, no, it just, I don't know, like, it was going to be built, and then people ran out of money or
was
something.
Was it the
other,
South Station Tower?
Yes, it was.
Oh, well, here's a little link on the Wikipedia here.
It was approved. I'm pretty sure it was approved and everything.
Well, let's find out more about it. It's like half a hoss's. So it's actually a pretty short article here. South Station Tower is a proposed skyscraper intended for construction in Boston, Massachusetts. The tower by design would rise 621 feet. That's 189 meters for you international folks. With 41 floors and consist of a hotel, condominium units, office space, and a parking structure. That's important. Okay? Because parking downtown, very difficult.
Sucks.
It's a pain in the balls. Parking structure, very important.
Yeah.
Chances are, though, the parking structure would not be related to the hotel, though. So if you stayed at the hotel, you would still be fucked.
You'd still have to stay someplace else. You'd park someplace else, find a meter, something.
You would have to go with, like, the valet that would park you, like, 10 minutes away.
Yeah,
It'd be a whole to-do.
Yeah.
It would be built atop Boston's historic South Station complex, an example of transit-oriented development. The property was developed by Heinz Interests and TUDC, a subsidiary of Tufts University. South Station Tower was planned to break ground in 2008, which I would have been there for that.
Yeah.
With completion scheduled to occur in 2010. I think that was my last year there, if I'm doing my math right. Oh, but the planned project stalled and has not reached development. Approval has been obtained for a project totaling square feet.
Yeah, I don't know if this thing's ever going to happen, but...
Well, development of the airspace above the southbound tracks has been delayed several times. The building was conceived by Tufts president Gene Mayer, who foresaw an epicenter of high-profile medical research in downtown Boston.
There's no other medical research going on in Boston.
Isn't there the... You know what? Don't worry about it. I was going to say, isn't there a stop on the red line called JFK Medical Center? You know, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I feel like there's a lot of medical centers in Boston.
In 91... I know, but there's a specific T-stop.
There is one called Tufts.
tall Tufts Medical Center, isn't there?
Yes, there is, yes.
Okay. In 91, Tufts created a for-profit, I just want to make sure everybody heard that right, a for-profit.
That's the way I like it.
Development subsidiary, TUDC LLC, and acquired the rights to the airspace. Development over the past decade has been complicated by Boston waterfront zoning restrictions, which require pedestrian access to the waterfront. In 1997, TUDC brought on Heinz Interests LP as a development partner. It appears unlikely that the university will have a presence in the finished building. South Station was originally designed with a height of 759 feet, included a decorative spire. However, the project was downscaled in 2006. A report in 2013 suggested that the developer was considering constructing the building for condominiums. So...
yeah, that...
oh, although... the structure has been LEED pre-certified silver, whatever the fuck that means, and it won the EPA's Green Design Award, so Walter Peck totally approves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so that whole thing where, like, the buildings have to have access to the waterfront, I didn't realize, but that is a real thing in Boston. That you cannot prevent people from having access to the water.
Yeah. Like,
even though the Boston Harbor is disgusting.
It's an old law, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's still enforced because down by, you know, like there's the aquarium and there's the harbor towers. It's like these twin condominium towers.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be building these – they're supposed to knock down this big parking garage that's over there and build these two skyscrapers all right on the water. But part of the thing is that they need to make sure that there are pathways to the water from the street. And that's like one of the sticking points to building this new complex is that it needs to be like open access.
Well, yeah, because back in the day, water was very important. Water was, like, the number one thing.
Oh, I know, but it's 2014.
Yeah, and you can get water from the taps and shit.
And you can get water from the taps, and no one is drinking water from Boston Harbor.
But that's the main reason why, like, old laws is the main reason why Boston Common exists.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Otherwise, it would be filled with buildings.
Like, at some point, somebody was like, I'm gonna develop on this, and they're just like, well, you can't,
because there's this
law there.
But,
you know, we would overturn it, but, you know,
we're too stubborn.
I mean, he's there, and, you know, it's like, we gotta get a whole bunch of people and turn into a whole thing and everything, you know. Like, we got a poker game on Friday, and I just don't want the mood to be weird, so... can we just,
yeah.
just you know, yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll find another place for a building.
So, yeah, so that's happening. I know there's another really big skyscraper going up in the middle of Boston, which is kind of cool because I'm a nerd when it comes to skyscrapers and architecture.
You really are. I don't know. I don't think we've dove into this as much as you are a nerd of skyscrapers.
I am. I can tell you so much about skyscrapers. I read about it all the time.
I think what we should do is we should get you as a guest on another show just so we can delve into skyscraper. There's got to be a skyscraping podcast out there.
There should be. I'm sure there is.
Let's get you as a guest on there. I'll just be a guy that listens in. They'll just be like, here are our guests, Greg DiNicola, who we're going to talk to, and Keith Bodela, just because he wanted to listen in.
It's awkwardly. You're just a fly on the wall. But no, it's one of my favorite topics. I read about skyscrapers and their design and the technical specifics and everything all the time. I love it. It's awesome.
Now, would you ever want to design the skyscraper yourself, or
yeah I mean it's something
like, you know, I wish I designed a skyscraper.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I wish I took architecture.
Yeah, I've thought about that. I've been like, you know, man, I wish that I really like took hold of that like passion when I was younger. And
have
and,
you ever like, thought about going back to school for it?
Yeah, for that, I don't know, not necessarily. It's more of a hobby of mine to like study and read about.
Okay, I was gonna say, I don't think architecture could be a hobby.
No. It's not. The architecture isn't a hobby. It's a hobby of mine to learn about it.
Okay.
You know, like, I know a lot about it. I definitely know more than the average person about it. In that way, I am very much like George Costanza. I like to pretend that I'm an architect.
I would love – I want to – okay, let's plan on, like, a way to go away for a weekend – and we'll both pick different jobs, and your job will be architect.
Architects?
Okay. And then we'll go and interact with people in the bar area and just pretend that you're an architect and I'm something else.
It'd be great.
I don't know what my something else is, but...
And, well, something that you can talk about that you don't normally do. Like, I can talk about skyscrapers all the time. Like, I can discuss in depth with you about it. I just don't – I don't happen to do it. This guy, I know this shit that you.
I don't know. I could pretend to be a ghostwriter.
Yeah. Say you ghostwrote for someone like. Someone important. Like,
James Patterson.
Eh.
I mean, he puts out novels all the time. Because otherwise, like, then you get into an area where you're like, I gotta be, if I ghost wrote for somebody else, chances are I have to be politically aligned with them. Like, I couldn't say that I ghost wrote for O'Reilly because I'm not 100% into his politics, so I can't.
Yeah, but do you necessarily need? Yeah, but do you necessarily need to be on board with everything he says to ghostwrite for him?
But I don't feel enough in – I don't feel comfortable enough knowing his stance on everything where I could talk about it. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think that – I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I watched a documentary – during the 2000 election, it was made, and it was made by Nancy Pelosi's daughter, and she was a reporter, and she followed Bush around. Actually, she did not follow Al Gore; she followed George Bush, and it was actually a very positive documentary about him, especially considering who her mother is. But I thought that was kind of interesting because in documentary, you know, you can make it lean whatever way you want just by the editing. I mean, look at Michael Moore.
Yeah.
But I always found that interesting. She did. It was a very positive look on George Bush, despite her obvious. No, I wouldn't say – I don't even know what she necessarily believes politically, but her mother is, you know. You know.
You know what else?
I don't need to go any further.
You know,
it's
no,
Nancy
I know.
Pelosi, you know.
But you know what else I could say I could do? I could say I'm a script doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go in and punch up scripts in their last draft kind of before they go – to filming, because I never get credit for it because I don't do enough to qualify for credit in the movie.
Right.
But I just kind of tweak them here and there in a little bit to try and make them a little bit better, improve them a little bit. It's, you know.
You could do that.
You could. I mean, if you're an architect, I gotta go something high level here.
Yeah, no, I mean, you obviously want to do something good. Like, you ever use a pseudonym when you've gone out?
I don't have a preset one. I have used a couple times, but not anything good. Like, I don't have a set pseudonym. I'm assuming you do, though.
I did. I used to use Mark Teixeira.
That's a good one.
And see, the thing was, is that I used to use that when the real Mark Teixeira played for the Texas Rangers, baseball player. And the thing was, is it was good because people had heard the name, but they didn't really know who he was.
Okay.
So I'd say Mark Teixeira, and they'd be like, I think I've heard of you. And I'm like, yeah, you have. he signed with the Yankees, and the name got a little too big, and people around here especially just, you know, learned the name and decided they hated him. So I couldn't really use the name Mark Teixeira anymore. Mm-hmm. It didn't have that, like, subtlety to it anymore. So I actually, to be honest, I haven't really picked another name since then that I've liked to use.
Well, here's what I want to do. Next time you and I hang out in person and we go out, I want us to strike up conversations with people and use fake names.
Okay.
I was gonna say, I was trying to remember the name of the guy from a movie, Humphrey Bogart movie, In the Lonely Place. Because I was like, okay, that might work. It's kind of a writer work, and it's a Humphrey Bogart movie that not many people have heard of.
Right.
But the guy's name is actually Dixon Steele, and that just sounds like a fake.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You tell someone your name is Dixon Steele, they're bullshit.
That sounds too fake, so I gotta go with something else here. I'll have to think of something else then, but yeah. No, we'll think of something else, and then just tell people that that is our name.
Yeah. No, I'm going to come up with another one. You know what? By the next time we talk, I will have come up with another name that is – it is somewhat – it's clever. It's subtle, but it's something that people kind of know or will stick in their mind or something like that.
Here's one that I would like to use, actually. And I think – I don't think it sounds that unbelievable. Nick Charles.
Nick Charles. Okay. Who's that?
That is the main detective guy, the main character from the novel and the movie The Thin Man.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, if you say the movie The Thin Man, some people might have heard of that. I would say probably 25% of people have probably heard of the movie.
Right.
Maybe 25, 30% of people. But out of those people, maybe 10 to 15% of people remember the name. But it's old enough, too, that people are going to be like, well, are you named after that guy? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, my parents' last name was Charles, and then they're big fans of that movie growing up. And they said, we'll name him Nick. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
that doesn't sound like a fake name. Dixon Steele sounds like a fake name.
Dixon Steele does sound fake. I so in high school, I went to a Catholic high school,
right.
And they had detention was called a jug.
Yeah.
J-U-J.
Oh.
which meant justice under God. And
wait, J-U-J or J-U-G?
I'm sorry, J-U-G.
Okay.
Oof. J-U-G, jug. Like the water jug. Or like...
I mean, J-U-G would make sense. Or J-U-J would make sense. Justice under Jesus, but...
No, no, I'm sorry. J-U-G. I don't know what I'm saying. J-U-G. And... So... They would name the people every day, like they come over the intercom at the end of the day before you leave, and they'd say, who had jug? You know, who got called for jug that day? And they'd announce it. And there was this one kid. He had jug every day, like every fucking day. And his name was Brock Staples. And I'll never... ever forget that name my entire life. Brock Staples. He sounded like a news anchor or something. And it sounds so fake, but it was a real kid.
Brock Staples.
Bro, like, what kind of a name is that? That's insane. It's like, what was the guy he used to be on NBC?
The guy that used to be on Dateline?
Yeah, with the, he had like the real like chiseled face. He kind of looked like a Chuck Woolery type guy.
Oh,
was it something Stone? Stone Phillips. Stone Phillips.
Yes, I think Stone Phillips.
That's what it was. Stone Phillips. That's what he reminded me of. Brock Staples, Stone Phillips. Like, who names your kid Stone? Like, you better know that kid is going to be awesome if you're going to name him Stone Phillips.
Here's the thing. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and normally it's like, okay, like, Michael Keaton, born Michael Douglas in so-and-so, you know?
Yeah.
It literally just says Stone Phillips, born December 2nd, 1954, is an American. It doesn't say, like, an alias.
No.
They really did.
That's his fucking name, Stone Phillips.
What's he up to these days?
I don't know. He's probably doing coke off a toilet seat. I mean, if I was him, I would be.
Phillips co-anchored Dateline NBC from its inception until July 2nd, 2007, when NBC did not renew his $7 million contract.
Holy shit.
On October 17th, 2005, Phillips was a guest on the premiere episode of The Colbert Report. Let's see. As of 2012, Phillips was contributing reports to the PBS NewsHour. In 2013, he reported on golf course water usage for the Golf Channel. In May 2013, Phillips produced and hosted Moving with Grace, a documentary airing on PBS stations that chronicled his efforts and those of his siblings to provide care for their aging parents. It also explored various issues faced by other baby boomers in similar situations.
So Stone Phillips is not doing anything currently.
I'm gonna say no. I don't think he has. I mean, unless he pops up in Ted 2, I don't think he's doing nothing.
I mean, it sounds like for at least a certain period of time he was making $7 million a year. So I would hope that Mr. Stone Phillips put a couple dollars away.
Let's see what this article is here.
It sounds like he had the opportunity to put a few bucks away.
This is an article from April 18th, 2014. For Stone Phillips, a focus on the home front. Originally, Stone Phillips told me he intended to shoot a kind of home movie. His parents, after deliberately... Or, I'm sorry, after deliberating with their three children for a year, were about to leave their independent living apartment in St. Louis for a similar one in North Carolina near their daughter's home. She would supervise their care as their mother's dementia progressed. I wanted to chronicle the move, the former network news and correspondent and anger told me. And I wanted to capture her before the dementia became too advanced. So, well, here's the thing, though. He's 59. Let's assume he was making $7 million a year. If he was smart about it, maybe he just decided to fucking retire.
Yeah. I mean, if he was making that for, say even he did, say he made $7 million for 3 years. That is plenty of money to last you. As long as you put it away, invest it a little bit or whatnot.
Yeah, like if he's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to live a simple life.
That is going to last you for the rest of your life, and you're going to have plenty of money to leave for your kids.
Oh, because here's the thing. He's going to live $7 million a year, and he puts all that away. Because here's – well, and also he has to build up to $7 million a year.
And so, yeah, he was making money before that.
He got – he was with Dateline since its beginning. So when did Dateline start? Let's see.
Oh, Dateline's old, though. I don't think he was
– first episode date, March 31st, 1992.
He wasn't with it all that time, was he?
I don't know. The one thing that I said Dateline – he with it since its inception till this date.
Wow. Okay.
Well, let's see. Here's the staff here. Former on-air staff. Stone Phillips, 1992 to 2007. So he was with them for 15 years.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Stone Phillips probably in his time as a reporter, anchor, whatever, made no less than probably 33 million dollars. Maybe 30. Let's say 30.
I'm going to say it was potentially more than that.
You say,
because you figure he makes maybe 7 million for his last 3 years there.
Yeah.
21 million. No, but he wouldn't make $7 million for the each year, would he? Although they were doing...
Yeah, no, $7 million contract? Yeah.
They were doing 3 episodes a year. Or 3 episodes a week, 52 weeks a year. Right.
Let's say at least $30 million he made in his career.
I'm going to say he potentially made more than that, but yeah.
I would say potentially, let's say at least $30 million.
At minimum.
That is an incredibly large amount of money.
Yeah, and if he didn't get involved with, like, fancy tastes.
Gambling,
drugs, anything like that, and he just invested in it properly and was smart about it. And I'm sure he had other opportunities here and there being Stone Phillips, and he made extra money.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine that. So, say maybe probably... So, say with all the other extras, he probably made $40 million in those years with speaking engagements and all that other stuff that he could have done in that time. In that 15-year span, say he probably made $40 million. He invests that right. If he's living a somewhat... I would say humble, but say average or slightly above average American lifestyle... at least by today's standards, then he could be fine for years.
Oh, he'd be way more than fine.
Especially if the house that he has, that he's living in now, is one that he's purchased, he's fine.
Oh, he's way more than fine. I mean, he's got plenty of money. He probably, if he probably retired and is just loving life.
So... are we saying that we shouldn't worry about Stone Phillips? Is that...
I think the moral of the story is you haven't seen Stone Phillips on TV in a while. you said to yourself, shit, is he okay? Yes. Stone Phillips is okay, everyone.
Yeah, I think Stone Phillips is doing fine.
He is doing just fine.
I mean, I think Brian Williams might be doing slightly better, but...
Fuck Brian Williams. Fuck him up his stupid ass.
No, don't fuck Brian Williams.
No, fuck him.
Why?
Because he's stupid. He's dumb. All he does is read. He doesn't do nothing. He is not a good fucking news anchor. He sucks.
Here's the thing about Brian Williams, though.
I hate him.
I feel like when he appears on other shows and has a somewhat comedic element to the other shows, for example, say, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon or Daily Show, he is funny in his appearances.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe he's not the best news anchor around, but I would hang out with the guy.
There is only one thing that Brian Williams has ever really done that I liked. And
that was when Brian Williams pulled up in a limousine next to you in the streets of Boston and said, you want to get fucked up? And you said, are you Brian Williams? And he opened the door and let you in.
No.
And then
that would have been awesome.
You proceeded to do cocaine off a hooker's ass.
That would have been great.
With Brian Williams.
With Brian Williams. Yeah, no, yeah. That would have been cool.
He's on one cheek, you're on the other.
That would have been pretty sweet. No, the one thing I really did love about Brian Williams, one thing he did was he talked. It was some random episode, and basically he was like lamenting about like how America is stupid and it's gone soft. And it was about the Apple ad with Zooey Deschanel from what's his new girl there?
Oh yeah. She's like, it's raining.
Oh, I can't go outside. And basically he recaps the ad and it's just like discussing about like how she has to order food in, how she can't go outside, and basically just shits on the ad and on her. Basically being like, oh no, God forbid that we go outside. God forbid that we get wet. Like, basically it was, is this what we've come to? And it was kind of awesome.
See,
I really did enjoy that.
I've seen a lot of Brian Williams, like, interviews, like people interviewing him and him just talking. And less of him. I've seen that more than I've seen him just doing the news. So I think that's why I like Brian Williams, because I've seen like actual him instead of him just reporting the news.
Yeah.
I've seen him being like, this is fucking stupid. What are you doing?
You know what? He might not be as bad as I said.
But he's no worse news people.
He's no Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw is our guy that announced the death of JFK, whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Walter Cronkite?
Yes, thank you. I was going to say, I was like, I can see him taking off his glasses and rubbing
his eyes. Yeah, with his big round face.
And Walter Cronkite was that generation's Edward R. Murrow. But we won't have another one.
I loved Brokaw. The dude was the man.
Brokaw was fantastic, and we won't have another one of those for quite some time.
I agree. I will say, I used to watch Brokaw almost every night. And towards the end, you could see he was kind of starting to lose it a little bit. Like, he would say stuff that would, like, didn't really make sense. Or he'd have these, like, real long pauses.
He was just, like, yeah, he was super burnt out at the end of it. And they were just, he's just like, I've been doing this for 50 years.
You're like, you know what? Brokaw's getting old.
So, yeah, you know what? Forget it. How old is Brokaw now?
He's got to be a...
He's got to be in 70s, his
70s. I got to say, yeah. Yeah, Brokaw was the man.
74 is what he is right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he only stopped, I want to say, maybe 7 years, like, less than 10 years ago. It's been less than 10 years.
I know, yeah, I would say around there. But,
I would say less than 10 years. So he was, I mean, he was in the 60s at the time.
Oh, yeah. Dan Rather couldn't hold a fucking candle to Tom Brokaw.
No.
Dan Rather was a piece of garbage. Hated that guy.
You know, I saw interesting was at one, there was an article that said that when they were trying to replace the Meet the Press guy.
Oh, Tim Russert.
Yes. They were considering John Stewart.
Really?
And you know what? I was like, that's an interesting choice, but that's actually a really good choice.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I don't think it would be good for the existing people watching Meet the Press, but it would draw more people. It would draw more people and a newer audience to Meet the Press.
Like, yeah. No, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Because who's the guy hosting Meet the Press right now?
I don't know. I don't know.
And the one thing that I've always enjoyed about Daily Show is the interviews that he has with political people.
Yeah.
Because I understand that he for the most part, very much has a... And part of it's for show, and part of it is true, that he has a liberal agenda.
Right.
And that's kind of the way he leans. But he always seems to have a open, honest discussion in mind when he talks to people.
Yeah. You know? No. I don't have any deep-seated hatred for Jon Stewart or anything like that. I'm not.
So, but what I'm saying is, I think it would be a potentially good choice for them just because it's interesting. Because I actually, for a while, and I don't know if she still does, she probably still does every once in a while, I got my mom watching The Daily Show and recording The Daily Show and occasionally watching it just because of the interviews that he would do. And she'd be like, I find those interviews really interesting because it gives a completely different side of the people that I thought I knew.
Right.
And it just kind of exposed him in a slightly different light. And she was like, I find that really interesting. Because my mom has always kind of been like a real a conservative person.
No wonder me and your mother get along so well.
But she, yes. You son of a bitch.
Right?
But she has dabbled in the more liberal side of things as well. Which is kind of where the right is going now, apparently. Because they're just like, gay marriage, yeah, we're really against that. Forget about that. No, that's fine. You guys want to get married, that's fine. What? Yeah, do whatever you gotta do. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna... This is weird.
Yeah, we don't need to get political about it.
But anyway... I know, I just think it's funny that all of a sudden they've shifted on that one topic. They're just like, no, not good.
I think it's because
of the Supreme Court.
The actual leadership who like strategizes and everything for the party always knew that being against something like gay marriage was stupid. But if you have all these people as part of your party that are representatives and whatnot in these like real rural areas, or that we have people that are against it, you have to support the candidates that are, you know, that you have to support them and that are looking for these votes. And that's, those are the votes that they're trying to get. I mean, you got people out in the middle of nowhere, you know, whether it be in the South or whether it be in fucking, you know, like Pennsylvania. And you get these dudes that, you know, they need that support from the party. So they took it as kind of this general stance as being, oh, well, okay, well, we're against, you know, and the Republican Party didn't necessarily ever say it. Like, there was no, like, head of the party or anything that said we're against gay marriage.
Yeah, but all the
people. But they supported the candidates that were that, against it, which is, by proxy, you know, holding that position. But as the tide turns and as people care less about that, because let's be honest, whether or not you are against it, there are bigger issues at hand.
Yes.
So, no, I am one who is, I'm conservative, but I am all for equal marriage opportunities and everything like that.
Which but I think is, going back to my point, though, is I think where my mom was just like, well, this guy brings up some good points, because she was raised kind of that way, to be very conservative, and then was like, but I don't, I just want people to be happy.
Well, if you look at it, and I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but if you look at it from my perspective, the true conservative would say, I don't want the government to have anything to do with anyone's life.
Right.
So let people get married. Because I don't like the government. You know, I don't trust the government to make decisions for me. So why would I have them tell me who I can marry and who I can't?
Right.
Because, you know, people should decide that.
Which is why I think you and I get along so well.
It's because I'm an actual conservative.
Yeah, you're an actual conservative, and I think I'm an actual liberal. And for the most part, and that means that for the most part, we agree on everything.
We agree on most things, yes.
Our reasoning to most things is different, I think, right?
Right, but it kind of circles around to the same thing. But
in the end, the result is kind of the same.
Well, yeah, because the actual liberal wants... The actual liberal wants everyone to have, like, equal access, and the actual liberal wants everyone to have equal access, and the actual conservative wants the government to have no part in anything, which means equal access. So it kind of ends up being the same thing, whereas we kind of – it's on the back side, but we kind of end up meeting in the same place.
Yeah.
Where – we don't want people to interfere. And that's exactly where I am on stuff like gay marriage or whatever. It's like I don't – I mean, I just don't give a shit, you know? Two dudes want to marry. I don't care. But the reason why I do care about the issue at all is because I don't want some jerk-off in Washington who is fucking paid up with the right people – to be like, oh yeah, I think this is right or this is wrong. Fuck you.
Yeah. My whole theory on, and I think I actually might have changed somebody's opinion on it, is because I was just like, somebody was like, well, why are you... I got into a whole fight with an ex-girlfriend about gay marriage of all things. And I was like, really, is this what we're fighting about now? Like, mm-hmm. This is, we fight so much that we've decided to go to the gay marriage thing in order to find something to fight about, which is fucking stupid. But I was like, I don't, your reasoning is that it's wrong because it's in the Bible. And God says, like, it shouldn't happen. And I was like, okay. My reasoning for being pro-gay marriage is that why shouldn't these two people be happy? Like, if they enjoy each other's company, just let them get married. Like, it's not like they're not bothering me. And if they're happy, then by all means, like, do whatever you got to do. And then later on, she came to me and was just like, you know, I was thinking about what you said. And then I was in the city and I saw this couple, these two guys holding hands, and they seemed really happy. And I was just like, they should be happy. And I was like, I know, that's what I've been saying.
And it's like, the thing is that I have no issue whatsoever. The only, you know, as long as there's no sort of action by the government telling, you know, say like telling the Catholic Church, like they have to marry dudes or women together, you know, like as long as there's no like I feel that, you know, if the Catholic Church or whomever it is doesn't believe in gay marriage, then fine, whatever, they don't have to believe in that. But, you know, from a legal standpoint, the marriage should be recognized. But like, there doesn't need to be any sort of like posturing by the government against a religion to recognize it. That would bother me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
Because it's in that, again, it would be too much government interference. You would say a separation. And I feel like that is becoming increasingly a problem in this country, is that there's a separation of church and state, right? Okay, fine, whatever. So you don't want too much religion in the state. But I feel like there is coming a point now where there's too much state in the religion. You know what I'm saying? It's like it goes both ways. You can't have too much legislating about religion, just as much as you can't have too much religion in legislating.
Okay, I think I follow, yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's another discussion for another day. And honestly, I feel like a lot of this discussion that we just had might be saved for another time. Well, not really this
here,
podcast, but...
Here, you got a few more minutes here?
Yeah, I got another minute or two.
Because I was thinking about the fact that when we cut this episode, we'll probably cut a bit of stuff out. Because it was all very serious.
Yeah, because the last, like, 10, 15 minutes have gone kind of political and serious, but yeah.
So I was quickly perusing here. Found this headline. Darth Vader... running for Ukrainian parliament under aegis of internet party.
Okay.
The Ukrainian internet party is backing a dark horse candidate for parliament. Dark horse, not dark force. Dark horse, they didn't make any puns yet. In the October elections, it's a guy dressed like Darth Vader. In a series of campaign ads, the Sith Lord strums the Imperial March on a traditional Ukrainian instrument, sticks his lightsaber in the dirt. Okay. Sounds weird. And makes vaguely nationalistic statements in a breathy baritone.
I like this guy.
I gotta hang on. There's one video here. Let's see what it's probably gonna be in a language we don't understand, but let's
Ukrainian.
Let's see what
maybe Russian.
Yeah, let's see what the YouTube has to say.
Is this the instrument he's playing?
Flowers are blooming. Yeah, this is it's like a lute and a harp.
Oh yeah. Together.
Oh, okay, and his lightsaber is just sticking out of the ground like he dropped it into the dirt.
Не дамо з'їсти нашого сала.
кандидат у народні депутати від Інтернет-партії України.
But what does he stand for?
Was that an ad?
Yeah, that was the ad, but I don't know what he said because it was in Ukrainian.
Who cares? It sounds great.
It sounded pretty good, but I don't know. He might have said, let's kill the American podcasters.
Oh.
Hang on. Here's,
yeah, I don't know how you feel about
Ally
that.
Bank ad. Let me freeze. Okay, there you go. It would seem that the recent public relations blitz is intended as a panacea for Darth Vader's past transgressions. Let the voters not forget that this candidate is nothing more than a sociopath minion of an evil empire, and that he hunted and nearly killed his own children. Okay.
What?
Here's the thing. This is where we're going to have a problem and get possibly a whole nother episode. It would seem that the recent public relations blitz is intended as a panacea for Darth Vader's past transgressions. Do they know that Star Wars is a fictional movie?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
They might not. Well,
let the voters not forget that this candidate is nothing more than a sociopath minion of an evil empire. Like that time that he tried to blow up, or that he did blow up Alderaan.
Well, Grand Moff Tarkin kind of did it.
He was the guy that ordered it, wasn't he?
No, Grand Moff Tarkin did it. I mean, Vader was there.
I mean, he took him to Alderaan, though.
Nah, because Vader really wasn't in charge in the first one.
I'm pretty sure that he was responsible for Alderaan.
I'm gonna tell you no, and I'm pretty sure no.
So So why do you don't think he was? You think it was the other guy?
It was Grand Moff Tarkin.
All right. Well, I mean, agree to disagree then.
All right.
But he did try to kill his own son.
He did multiple times.
But he didn't know it was his son, did he? It's iffy.
A couple times he did.
Did try to defeat the Rebellion Alliance, though. Did kill Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Well, Obi-Wan was weak.
But which one was the one where he kills the guy and then promotes Admiral Piet to Admiral?
He killed Admiral Ozzel in the beginning of Empire.
And then he promotes the other guy to Admiral Piet, right?
Well, yeah, he was captain.
I forget what his rank was. Is it Captain Piet? And then
he was Captain Piet. You are Admiral. You are.
He was like, "Don't fail me now, Admiral Piet."
Admiral Piet.
After he just killed the other guy, and the guy's like, "Yeah, no problem, sir. Don't worry about it."
Right.
I want to ask you what the turnover rate in the Empire was.
Oh, it's very high. Especially on that ship, the Executor, which Darth Vader's personal flagship.
I feel like, in that ship, it was like 70%.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, it was,
Here's the thing, though. It was probably closer to 50%, which is still a huge turnover. But, because you gotta think, there's all the people that he doesn't interact with. The guy scrubbing the toilets and shit.
Yeah, it's still lower turnover rate than the place we used to work at.
Well, yes, that's true. Which we haven't had a good goat episode in a while.
No, we haven't. We should soon.
I was thinking about that fucked up place a couple days ago. But anyway. I feel like it's got to be high 50s in the percentage for the turnover rate. But that makes me think, though, that he was in charge.
No, he was in charge then. See, the thing was that Grand Moff Tarkin was kind of the mastermind behind the Death Star project. So that's why he was in charge.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
How do you know that?
I know.
No, but how?
I read books.
Books?
Books.
What's that about?
He was behind the development.
But aside from books within the movies, they don't specifically say that, right?
They don't, but you can kind of tell in the first one that he was kind of, you know, like, for instance, when they were in the meeting and Vader put the force grip on the dude's neck, right? The jerk that talked back to him. Tarkin tells him to release him. He obeys what Tarkin says, doesn't he?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I am right.
I would see. I would have always considered them. I always considered Vader superior, but
if, oh no!
If questioned, I probably would have considered them equals. Then,
listen, Vader is the number two guy overall to the Emperor, but in that movie, and I think it's partially because Lucas, even though he'll tell you that he envisioned the trilogy from the beginning, really didn't.
Oh boy.
But yeah, I know. We don't need to get into it. But Vader is the number two guy to the Emperor. But in that movie, he is not. Vader is below Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
He is the governor of the Outer Rim territories of the galaxy. That's what a Moff is.
So, okay. What were we saying about this then? How do we? Okay, I remember now. No, because of the article.
Oh wow! Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Where'd the article go? Wait. I think I had it on my, it's looking in the wrong place here. There we go. Oh, no, because they treat Darth Vader like he's a real guy, and like he's trying to make up for his public travesty of being Darth Vader. But really, I think he's just a crazy guy trying to run for Ukrainian parliament.
Is there a picture of him?
I mean, there's the video of him playing the sitar-like kind of thing.
Is he tall?
Maybe.
Can't really tell.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
He's not standing next to a tape measure or running out of a bank, so I can't tell how tall he is.
Or a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. I don't know. Ukraine's parliamentary elections are on October 26th.
Ooh, coming up.
So right around the corner, trying to find out. According to Mashable, this isn't Darth Vader's first run, and that he's not the only candidate backed by the Ukrainian Internet Party to run under a Star Wars-themed name. Here's a little excerpt. In a galaxy far, far away, Odessa, the third largest city in Ukraine, which probably isn't pronounced Odessa, but fuck you guys.
Well, that's the way it's pronounced in Texas.
Several Star Wars characters have managed to register as official candidates in the upcoming election with names like Darth V. Vader. What's the V stand for?
Vicious.
Okay. Stefan Chewbacca.
Oh, wow.
Stefan, C-H-U-B-A-K-K-A, Chewbacca. Master V. Yoda, probably for Victor. It's probably Victor.
Yeah.
And Padme N. Adamala.
Amidala.
Okay, yeah, Amidala is right. Okay. Because they spell it different, so it throws me off. Listed on the candidate roster, voters cannot be blamed for looking twice at the ballot. Radio Free Europe reports that the Ukrainian Internet Party's Darth Vader is one of 16 candidates running under some permutation names? Running under some permutation of the character's name. Are there other people running under Darth Vader?
Yeah, does that mean there's other Darth Vaders, or...
Or just other...
Star Wars
characters. Let's see. Still quick search here. 16 Darth Vaders have made an Imperial March onto the ballot in Ukraine's upcoming parliamentary elections.
And they want to know why they're being overrun by the fucking Russians.
Let's see.
Seriously, this is what they have going. 16 people...
All have been
are running for office dressed as Darth Vader.
I am the real Darth Vader. No, I am the real Darth Vader. No, I am the real Darth Vader.
Yes, please.
No, I'm
Putin, take us seriously.
I'm just a heavy set man who likes Star Wars that just needs better health care because I hate too much and I'm just way over. Wait. All have been registered. 7 of the Darth Vaders are with the Internet Party of Ukraine, while the other 5 are running as independents.
Oh!
Ukrainian political activists have used the Dark Lord of the legendary science fiction series in several political stunts in several years. Let's see. In 2011, a Ukrainian official in the Ukrainian Black Sea resort of Odessa didn't flinch when a resident showed up dressed as Darth Vader to apply for a free plot of land, citing Ukrainian law stating the citizens have a right to own 1,000 square meters of land. The man identified himself as Darth Vader, the right hand of Emperor Palpatine, and said that because local elected officials had switched to the dark side, he had come for a plot of land to park his space cruiser.
Nice.
While the 16 Darth Vaders registered for the October vote have the same first and last names, they have a range of patronymics. 6 are named Darth Volodymyrovich Vader, while the others, I'm assuming patronymics is middle name, such as Viktorovich and Leonidovich and Oleochvich. While Vader has a...
Some Ukrainian name.
While Darth Vader has a paragon of evil in most of director George... And he used that term loosely.
Yeah, right.
Director George Lucas's first 3 Star Wars films, none of the Ukrainian canons has a criminal record. The Internet Party of Ukraine is running several canons with names of Star Wars characters, including Master Volodymyrovich Yoda, Stefan Mikhailovich Chewbacca, and Emperor Viktorovich Palpatine.
Oh, yeah. Definitely want to vote for a guy who calls himself the Emperor.
So basically what we're saying is the Ukrainians love Star Wars.
I hear that.
How come none of them are named Han Solo?
Because they all know no one can be Han Solo. Now, no one is that cool.
Here's my thing, though. Is that because in Ukraine they're just like, oh, Han Solo, the fucking American cowboy?
Nah, he's too cool.
Are they the Hans Gruber to our Han Solo? And they're just like, what are you, another space cowboy? Like, yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, they're just like, what are you, another American space cowboy? Sorry about the mess.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Han Solo is a cowboy.
He is a cowboy. It's exactly what he is. If the setting was not space and it was a Western, he would be a cowboy.
So, basically what we're saying is, Ukrainians don't like Han Solo?
No, they do. They know they can't compete with him.
Oh, okay. Alright.
Yeah.
With that bombshell of information on the Ukrainian people, I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
That's been But You're Wrong, and remember everyone, no regrets, and, if you're running for a re-election in the Ukraine, don't be Han Solo. And if you're looking for a rewarding career in news, something long-term perhaps, don't be Stone Phillips. Yeah.